If you would this morning, take your Bibles, turn with me once again, as we did last Sunday, to the book of Ruth. Started a message, did not get finished with the message, and I thought we'd try to finish up this first message here on Ruth this morning. As we looked at the ruin of a family, and this morning we will look at the return of this family that comes back, or at least a portion of them that comes back to Bethlehem, Judah. The book of Ruth gives you a story. It's a true account, a true story of a family that we dealt with last year that left out from Bethlehem because there was a famine there. That's a physical need that they had. And they had heard that over in the land of Moab, just about 40 or 50 miles away, that there was bread there. And so this family decides that they're going to pick up and mom, the dad, and two boys. And they leave the house of bread, which that is what Bethlehem means. And they leave that place where God had placed them. And they end up going to the land of Moab. Now, they were not supposed to be in Moab as a Jewish family. They were to be separated from that land, but they had heard there was bread. They had heard there was a physical substance that they must have in order to survive. They had to have food. And so when we look at it from the perspective of a family, providing a husband, a wife, providing for their children, it seems as though they made the right move. And physically, maybe they did. But this family of the man by the name Elimelech and his wife Naomi and their two sons, they travel from Bethlehem, Judah, and they go to Moab. And this family failed, and now they're under the chastisement of the Lord. We find here that while they were there, they were just going to go through Moab. They wasn't going to stay long, but they ended up staying for a total of 10 years. And that 10 years brought about a lot of grief to this lady by the name of Naomi. She loses her husband, first of all, and then her two boys, they marry Moabitist women, and they began to have their life together. Then at probably around close to the end of that 10-year period of time, her two sons also die. And so you have these three widows that are left. You have Naomi, you have Orpha, and you have Ruth. Of course, the book of Ruth is named and entitled that because of the things that Ruth did and the decisions that she made. We find that Naomi tried her best to get those two girls to go back to where they came from. I'll never understand that, what it gives us in the Scripture, because the Bible says there in verse number 15 of chapter 1, here is Naomi talking, says, "Behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and to her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law." And so now Orpha has left, and Naomi tries to convince Ruth, just go back to where you came from. In some of the statements that Naomi made, we find that she was very disobedient unto the Lord. She was very troubled in her life because something had gone amiss. Something had gone wrong, and they now are suffering under, I believe, the chastisement of God, and she makes reference to that as we'll look at this morning. And so we find here's these three women, one much older than the other two. And Naomi decides that she's going to go back because there in Moab, she had heard that there was bread now in Bethlehem. And it seems as though everything that Naomi and Elimelech did was trying to fulfill the need of the flesh. They go to Moab because there's food. they leave Moab, or she leaves Moab and goes back to Bethlehem because what? Because there's food. And so everything involved in the life of this family seems to be around this idea of how can I be taken care of? How can things be better in my life? How can I have something much better? This morning, we found last week that they made their trip back, and we'll do a little bit more on that. But let's begin reading in verse number 19. And they have gone back in verse number 19 of chapter 1. It says, so they too went until they came to Bethlehem. We noticed last week as she tried to get Ruth to go back, Ruth said, I'm not going to leave you because your land is going to be my land, your God is going to be my God, and I'm going where you go. That's in verse 16 and 17. And so they come in verse number 19, they went till they came to Bethlehem, and it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them, and they said, is this Naomi? And she said to them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Here we find in verses 19 through 22, we find some things that transpire when they come back to the land, their hometown. They come back to Bethlehem. They come back to that place where they'd left some years ago, and they enter into that city, and the Bible says that the whole city was moved about them. Here's three ladies coming over the horizon, and the city sees them coming, and they notice that when they get there, this one looks very familiar. This one lady looks very familiar, and she's got a young girl with her. And so they come to her, and as that city is moved, they say unto her, is this Naomi? Now you have to remember, she's been gone 10 years. Hadn't been a good 10 years either. It's been a very trying 10 years. It's been very hard. In a 10-year period of time, she's lost her husband and her two sons. Now, I haven't experienced that. Many of us have never experienced that. But I'm sure when Naomi comes back to Bethlehem, she comes back in a very different state of mind than when she left. Probably her countenance, I know, was different. And they say, is this Naomi? Verse 4 tells us they'd been there in that place 10 years. After 10 years, what a change has taken place. I don't know if you've ever done this, but I like to look at pictures sometimes. And you look at pictures from days gone by and you say, is that really how I looked? Ooh, sometimes it don't look so good. And then when you look at it now, it might look pretty good that way. But we look at time frame. We grow old and we do it together, and so we do not notice the changes that take place. We do not notice what all features are different than they were years ago. But when you can picture it in a frame, and then you come down a few more years and a few more years and a few more years, you find what a change time has made in us. We have back here in the next building, we have a place where all of our yearbooks are stored. Well, I don't like to look at some of them. I look back at those first few and I said, did I really look like that? Did I really wear those kind of glasses? Surely not. And we see in a capture of a picture what it was, and now we see what we are. And that's pretty much what happened here to Naomi. These folks of the city, they knew her, they knew Abimelech, they knew their children, and probably were pretty prominent in the area. and they have left, and 10 years has passed by. By the way, in 10 years, you can forget somebody. They're not in your mind. They're not in your presence, so your mind don't think about that. And here, all of a sudden, these two ladies come, and it says the whole city was moved. And they say, is this really Naomi? She has changed. The time and the struggles and the problems have affected her. And she doesn't look like she used to look. Coming out of Moab, I doubt she dressed the way she used to dress. I doubt she talked exactly the way she used to talk. She had been changed because of some of the circumstances and because of some of the influences that were around her. If you remember last week, we found out that the word or the name Naomi means pleasant. And it means joyful or cheerful. So probably her livelihood 10 years ago, she was a very pleasant lady to be around. Very joyful, very cheerful. But now she comes back and she even makes reference here where we read. She said, don't call me Naomi any longer. Call me Mara. The word Mara means bitter. It means sour. Not very pleasant. And so Naomi realizes that something has made a change in her. She's not what she used to be. And this city had a great surprise when they looked upon her. And in astonishment, they asked the question, is this Naomi? Is this really who we think it is? Back this past year, I had first time I'd ever gone to my high school reunion. Been a long time. And I looked at some of them and I didn't recognize who they were. There was one particular person there that he and I were very good friends, but I had no idea who he was. And somebody told me, I said, are you sure? That doesn't look like him. Well, 30 or 40 years makes a big difference. And they probably said that about me. That doesn't look like him. And so they come in and there's a great surprise, and after these 10 years, she was different. Now you have to remember the whole preface here of the book of Ruth in this first chapter is that they made a grave mistake. They left where God had them and they went to where they thought it would be better. And we mentioned last week that saying that the grass is always greener on the other side. And that's what they thought. And so they have been gone now, and her countenance has changed, her attitude has changed, and maybe some of the townspeople said, well, where's her husband? Where's her two boys? Where are they? And they maybe didn't realize what had taken place. In those 10 years, and a change now is on her face. You can see people that when they struggle with certain issues, you'll find it does change their countenance. It does change their way of carrying themselves. Sometimes we call it beaten down. They're just so low. Instead of standing straight and tall and having a good spirit about them, they're just beaten down. And this is where Naomi was. Because changes had taken place. She left. She was pleasant. She was joyful. She returned. Now she's bitter. She's weary. She's depressed. And probably, above all things, very, very lonely. These changes came about because of circumstances that they found themselves in. I wrote down here even this morning, what causes changes in our life? Sometimes, I put down three different things. Sometimes it's our heart that causes us to change. Sometimes our heart grows cold and indifferent to the spiritual things of life, and we're only dealing with physical things that can help us in a in the physical realm, and our heart grows cold, and we're not moved by compassion any longer. We're just moved by circumstances. And I believe this is what happened. I'll tell you, Abimelech and Naomi, they were moved. Their heart was moved, and they moved their life, and they moved their family. Another thing that will change an individual is the constant wear of the heathen. Now, we understand who the heathen are. It's not necessarily those from the darkest continent of this world. It's not necessarily those that are third world country, but the heathen are those that know not God. And I'll tell you what, the constant wear and the constant struggle between righteousness, holiness, and ungodliness causes sometimes a change to take place in us. And we say, I'm tired, what's the use? And we give up. And when we do that, we're headed toward Moab. The longer, Brother Sisson, and I heard him say this years and years ago. I've heard him say it time and time again behind this pulpit. The longer something is said or done, the more it is accepted as true, and how true that is. The longer you hear something of this world that is anti-God, before long you begin to think like they think. And it makes a difference in your life, and your countenance changes, and your heart changes, and the heathen bother you, and your head, you just want to give up and be like everybody else. I'm tired of the battle. I'm tired of the fight. That's what happened to Lot. In the book of Genesis, Lot found himself in Sodom, and he sat at the gate. He was part of the council. He was part of the city, and he just sort of give up. If it wasn't for one verse in the Bible, we'd all preach Lot as a man that knew not God. But the Bible says he vexed his righteous soul daily. I believe Naomi's soul was vexed daily. I believe Elimelech, before he died, when he got there, he realized maybe what had happened, and his righteousness had been vexed because now he is not in the perfect will of the Lord. And so she comes to the city, and they say, really, is this Naomi? The principles that once governed her life are no longer there. Godliness was no longer present in her life, and she just was not governed by what used to be, and she wore the marks of backsliding and going away from God, and it's a part of what the Scripture says, the wages of sin. We know the end result of sin. The wages of sin is death. But there's a wage of sin that we pay daily in our life and in our flesh and in our body of a constant grind of ungodliness against us, and we are vexed. When she came into her city, they did not know her hardly. They were shocked. In spite of all of this, the city was moved about her. The city came, and they were concerned about this lady that they knew that left their city one way and came back another. And so they were moved about her. The Bible tells us here that they came in at the beginning of barley harvest. They came at a time when many of the men were out of the city. So probably the first group that met her maybe were those women that she had dealings with. And when it was all said and done, the whole city was troubled. This beginning of barley harvest, men, it's probably sometime in April, what we would call April. And she comes in, and she says unto those folks that's moved about her, she says, don't call me Naomi. Here is her testimony. Here is her life in a nutshell. Don't call me pleasant. Call me sour. Don't call me happy and joyous. Call me afflicted. And she said, just call me Mara, bitter. I'm sure there was those that came around her and said, well, I knew that's what would happen. You know, there was always that crowd. I knew when they left here they'd come back broken. But thank God for a city that was moved about her. And when you read the rest of the story, you'll find great rewards given to her and to Ruth. So most of those probably moved with her toward compassion and with compassion. There's a surprise here. The city didn't know her. Now there's a sorrow that is given to us in verse number 20 and 21. I mentioned it a moment ago. Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. I went out full. Oh, I've come back, and I'm so empty. Anytime you leave the Lord, you're going to come back empty. All the world may supply some things, and the world may give you some joy, and the world may give you some fun things, but your heart's going to come back empty. And this is what she relates to us in these two verses that it is given. She is manifested by a bitter spirit. She admits, call me Myra. Call me bitter. I'm not happy anymore. I'm not that joyous person that you once knew. Naomi seems as though she can't bear the contradiction of the name. They're calling her Naomi, pleasant. She says, oh, I'm not very pleasant anymore. Well, the world takes our joy away from us. The world takes our happiness from us. Out there that looks so good and the bright lights flash and the fun we see and the happiness that we hear about, it sounds good and looks good, but in reality it doesn't do us any good because it robs us of our pleasantness. It robs us of our joy. It robs us of our peace. That song we did a while ago, Wonderful Peace. It'll rob you. The world will rob every one of us, and sin will rob us from that peace that comes only from God. And so she couldn't stand being called pleasant, and so she said, just call me bitter. Just call me Myra. I think at this particular junction here in verse 20, 21, I believe Naomi is still far away from God. Oh, she's made her way back, but she hasn't really got back. And she has a problem now with bitterness. Let me tell you something, just a little bit about bitterness. You know, the only person that bitterness will hurt is the one that is bitter. I can be bitter toward Brother Jay, and he might not even know it. And it doesn't bother him a bit. But it bothers me. And so she realizes, I'm bitter. You know who she's bitter against? I believe she's bitter against God. Because in her words here, she almost, you can study it out, and she's almost blaming God for the attitude of her heart. She's almost blaming God for her bitterness. 10 years in Moab with all this anguish and loss of fellowship and God's people and her family, that once sweet Naomi now is very, very bitter. Her poverty and her desolation has come upon her. Notice she says here, for the Almighty. The word Almighty there is the word Shaddai. Almighty God. She says, I know who has dealt with me. It has been the Almighty. She doesn't call him Jehovah. She calls him the Almighty. It's almost like there's a separation there. With her cup of bitterness, which is a result of her disobedience, of leaving, now she's come back bitter and empty. The Almighty. The Almighty had dealt bitterly with her. That's chastisement. The Bible tells us that the Lord chastens those of whom He loves. Don't ever get out and brag and say, God's never chastened me, because that's a telltale sign you may not belong to the Lord. Because the Bible says He chastens whom He loves. And buddy, I've been there. You've been there. We know when the Lord is dealing with us, and we know He's dealing sometimes bitterly with us and makes us realize that we are far from Him and we need to get back to Bethlehem, Judah. We need to get back to the house of bread. We need to get back where God can once again use me and make me pleasant and make me joyful and make me have a good life. So the Almighty hath dealt with her bitterly. The word Shaddai is a Hebrew word that means all-powerful, all-sufficient. And that is our God. Now, she was bitter. But don't ever think it is God that made her bitter. God dealt with her bitterness, but she made herself bitter. We're quick to blame somebody else. We're quick to blame others. And she was blaming, I'm sure, everything around. And in a roundabout way, she says, Almighty, He dealt with me. He's made me this way. God made me bitter. No, God doesn't make us bitter. God brings about chastisement because of our bitterness. We're always blaming somebody else. In the book of Genesis, Adam blamed Eve. And in reality, Adam blamed God. He said, the woman that thou gavest me, she did this. When it was Adam that, by his own free will and choice, sinned against God. Every one of us are totally responsible for our life. Every one of us is totally responsible for our sins against the Lord. It's nobody else's. And we live in a society we always want to blame somebody else. But our life and the way we live for the Lord is dependent upon what we do. She credits God for getting her back on the track. She's returning now. She's beginning to think correctly. She said, though the Lord hath brought me home, there is that compassionate God that loved her and brought her back. Sort of reminds me of the story in the New Testament of what we call the prodigal son. He had his own choice. He goes, takes his substance and goes out and wastes it, and then he comes back home. And the father accepts him and makes a has a welcoming party for him. And by the way, the Lord always welcomes us back home. He doesn't knock us down to keep us down. Sometimes He chastens us to us for us to realize that He loves us. She says here, I went out full, but the Lord hath brought me, and there's a very important word there, the Lord hath brought me home. Where was her home? Was it in Moab? No. Even though they tarried there 10 years, her home was not there. Her home was in Bethlehem. Wherever we go, our home is where God wants us to be and desires us to be. And she said, the Lord dealt with me bitterly, but now He has brought me home again. There's the compassion of the Lord. And she said, the Lord testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me. Naomi is pouring out her heart to these folks that say, is this really Naomi? She's pouring out her heart to these that have come to her in shock and amazement. Is this really that lovely lady that left here just a few years ago? Some of them might say, it hadn't been but 2 or 3 years. You know how time goes. For a long 10 years has gone by and we don't realize it. I went out full. The Lord hath brought me home again. And then there's one word there, empty. Sad commentary on this lady that loved God. Sad commentary on a home that was totally annihilated because of their own decisions and choice that they wanted to do their way. I went out full. And I've said this every time I read this verse, I always say this, but she thought she went out empty. When she left Bethlehem, Judah, they left thinking they were empty. They needed food. They had nothing. And when she comes back, after the Lord has worked in her heart and all the details are there that we've read, she said, "I went out full. I didn't realize what I did have. And now I've come home and I'm empty." The Lord Almighty hath afflicted me. Verse 22, so Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab. And here's the ray of hope. And they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. They get there just in time to have plenty. They get there just in time to fill their sacks with grain. She has wrestled now with all these things, and God has brought her back, and He knew when she needed to get back. It was at the right time. She went out full, but now she's empty, but she now is going to be full again because the Lord has put her in that place where she can receive. There was a sorrow in her life. There was a surprise in the city's life. And verse 22 tells us there's going to be a supply of grace. The book of Ruth is all about the grace of God. And we will, if we continue on in these next few weeks, we'll find how that the Lord supplied unto Naomi and to Ruth, how that that supply of grace was overabundant of what she needed. Naomi left Judah in famine, but upon her return, she finds no sign of scarcity of food. She leaves when she thought everything was wrong. Now she's come back at the beginning of barley harvest, so there's plenty of food. Two poverty-stricken women can now look and see a harvest. Ruth and Naomi had nothing. They'd done away with all that when they left. I believe she even had a parcel of land that she got rid of and had to be redeemed back. And so they came back with nothing. But on the horizon, they see harvest. Just a little while, there's going to be plenty. Just a little while, there's going to be an abundance of grain. Because God is gracious unto His people. And God is going to use His townspeople to help them. He's going to use one man in particular to help them. A kinsman redeemer. And he's mentioned there in verse number 1 of chapter 2. And his name was Boaz. And so now they've made the full trip. They've spent it all. They've lost it all. They've come back empty. And God says, okay, now it's time that I can once again bless you. You know how that we're going to get blessings from the Lord? Is just come back to the Lord. It doesn't matter how little insignificant. We count sin as big sin, little sin. God just says it's sin. And when we get our hearts and our minds off of the things of the Lord, then we lose some of the blessings of the Lord. And I believe God's people ought to have all kind of blessing. There was a surprise and there was a sorrow. Now we're going to find there's going to be a supply. God is going to honor them coming back. God's going to use that to bring about an inexhaustible supply of grace. Boaz becomes that savior of these two women. And God once again blesses Naomi. But she never would have gotten the blessing if she hadn't said, "I went out full, but I realize now I'm empty." She went out wanting to be full. and she was full. She went out having everything she needed, but didn't know it. So many Christians this morning, we have everything we need, and we don't even realize it. And so we go spin our wheels, spend our time, all of our efforts, trying to fill up where we feel like we're empty, when God says, it's already there. It's there for your taking. And that's what happens in chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4 of the book of Ruth. God says, here it is. You take it. You know what that is? Nothing but grace. Thank God this morning. Insurmountable grace that God's given to us. That one day we will be with Him, because I was empty and He made me full. I was lost, but now I'm found. I'm saved. The amazing grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. May we not go through Moab to experience that. May we not have to make that trip out of the will of God, but stay true to Him. Let's stand together this morning.